We are going to look in the Bible this morning. There is one particular scripture I'd really like you all to see before you. So if you would like to borrow a Bible this morning, can you just put your hand up, please? And Sophie will bring one to you. If you'd like to just find Psalm 98 and put your finger in it, we are going to do... Are anybody here a Strictly fan?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I am. Well, we're going to do a little foxtrot this morning. So it's not slow, slow, quick, quick, slow. It's quick, quick, slow, quick, quick, slow. That's what we're doing. So we're going to have a few scriptures that we're going to look at quickly. Then we're going to look at Psalm 98 a little bit more. Then we're going to have a few more quick scriptures. And then we're going to pray at the end. Does that sound okay?
Yeah.
Excellent. So, good morning, lovely Havant family. And just a greeting to anyone who's going to listen to this on the podcast as well, because this message is just as important to you as it is to all of us here today. My name is Wendy Barton. I'm married to Guy, who's at the back. I've been a Christian 27 years, so I was 28 when I became a Christian. I've been in Grace Church about 10 or 11 years, so I'm a very blessed girl. I wonder if you had a happy Christmas. I did, but Christmas isn't always a happy time, is it? It can be quite a difficult time as well. And now we sit in between Christmas and New Year. And that got me thinking recently. I was thinking a lot about this period between Christmas and New Year, where we look back over the year and we have a think about maybe New Year's resolutions. And I was thinking how foolish they are, really, because we make these resolutions and they're broken within a week, usually, aren't they? They're such a waste of time. And I was really thinking, I was kind of chatting to God about this, and I started to remember something. Something just came to my mind. Joe, which one is forward? That one. Which one? That's forward. I was really praying about this, and God reminded me of something. In 1939, the king, George VI, he gave his very first Christmas message to the nation over the radio. And it was quite a momentous thing for our nation to tune in and listen to the king. And he said, quoted some quite profound words. They're not from the Bible. But he said this, he said himself, "We may all find a message of encouragement in the lines which I would like to say to you." And then he quoted this quote, "I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, 'Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown.' And he replied, 'Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way.' And then the king finished by saying, 'May that almighty hand guide and uphold us all.'" What an amazing thing to say. The press went mad after this because they didn't know where the king had got these words from. They're not in the Bible. And it turns out a little old lady at the time called Minnie Haskins had written those words in a poem, and the king had read them at school and he'd never forgotten them. And they're like, for me, they're like a prophetic word. I'm very pictorial. Can you imagine the gate of the year? And we're going to go through that gate into a new year. And he's saying to the man who's guarding that gate, "Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown," because we don't know what's going to happen, do we, in the year ahead? And he said, "Go into the darkness, put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way." And when I was chatting to God about this, and I said to God, "You know, I'm on for preaching on the 30th. What do you want me to say?" And I really felt God say to me, "Tell them about my hand. Because surely the hand of God is safer than anything else. It's better than New Year's resolutions. Better to put our energy and our focus into what God's got for us with this year ahead. Amen." So So what does the Bible say about God's hand? It's massive, actually. It's such a vast subject. We've only got half an hour. So I've prayerfully pared it down to what I think God was saying to me. You don't need to look these scriptures up. You just need to keep your hand in Psalm 98. Okay. So in Genesis, we start at the beginning. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plants had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. When you put your hand into the hand of God, you are reconnecting with your Creator. He designed you. The Bible says he formed man from the dust of the earth. He formed him with his hands. You're putting your hand into someone who knows you, who planned you, who created you. In Isaiah 64, this is hundreds of years before Jesus was born. I don't know how many hundreds. The prophet Isaiah saw things that were to come. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look on us, we pray, for we are all your people. When you put your hand into the hand of God, you are joining in with a huge family. You're looking to God as your Father, a just Father, a kind Father, a righteous, holy, loving Father. Now, our own dads are not perfect. Some of them are far from perfect. But let's not judge God by that experience. The Bible assures us that he is good, that he is made of love, that he made us. So when we put our hand into the hand of God, we are yielding to God as the potter, and we are the clay. And when we give ourselves to him, we allow him to shape us. And it gets better. It gets more beautiful when God smooths off the rough edges and shapes us into the person he's destined us to be. Isaiah 49:16. Again, Isaiah. I think Isaiah is the most quoted prophet by Jesus when he walked on the earth. It's a wonderful book, Book of Isaiah. This is God speaking. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. How intimate is that? How well does God know you? Well, when he thinks of you, he looks in his palm and your face appears. Now, we've got so much technology nowadays, haven't we? You can look at something on the computer and one face morphs into another, doesn't it? We've got all this computer-generated imagery. You can't out-tech God. In his hand, he sees your face and yours and mine. And he loves you. It says you're the apple of his eye. So when you put your hand into the hand of God, you are known and you are loved and you are safe there. He hasn't forgotten you. He knows every detail and he loves you. And it's a safe place to put your hand. Okay, let's have a look at Psalm 98. Have you got it ready? Do you mind reading it with me? Can we read it out loud together? Okay. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music with to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Sing to the Lord, make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and a ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it. Let the world, the whole world, and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing for joy. Let them sing before the Lord. What amazing outburst of praise. What an amazing outburst of praise. And all around, one line. No, incorrect. No? Guy, I've lost it. This one, that's it. I always look for Guy. See, when I get... Oh, back again. Yeah. Guy always sorts my tech out for me. I can't manage without him. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvellous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. This is the reason for all this rejoicing. His right hand, his, not mine, not yours, is his hand. We can't clean ourselves up. We can't make ourselves clean. There's a lot of things in the Bible that God says to us as Christians is, you do that, that's your job. Pray, go, feed, visit, care for. You do that. That's your job. Look after one another. But there are some things he says, don't even try and touch that. You can't do it. It's like if someone said to us, all of you here, we're going to lift Warblington School and move it 1 meter. You wouldn't even try it, would you? It's a stupid thing to attempt. And yet how small that is, just to move Warblington School 1 meter. We can't even do that. We can't clean ourselves up. The price was too high. None of us has got the resources. So what happened? His right hand. Now the hand, what is a hand? It's just a palm and some fingers, isn't it? But it's what we accomplish things with, isn't it? If you put your hand to something, if your hand is on something, you're influencing that thing. You accomplish your tasks with your hand. God uses his hand. He's talking about Jesus. He's describing Jesus as his right hand. And then his holy arm. What's behind the hand? What would the hand be without the arm? The arm gives the power, doesn't it? The holy arm of God. There's no sin in God. He is pure. He's utterly holy. He's totally unapproachable. He lives in unapproachable light. We don't have a chance to get anywhere near him unless his right hand did something for us. We haven't got a chance. You can't see God and live. But Jesus accomplished what no man on earth could do. In Revelation, it says there was a scroll, and no one was worthy to open the scroll. No one in heaven or on earth or under the earth. No one was found worthy. Nobody was found worthy to open the scroll. And then John says, then I saw a lamb that looked like it's been slain standing in the presence of God. And he was worthy to take the scroll. Only Jesus can do this. But how often we don't really believe it, because our behavior shows us we're still trying to sort ourselves out. If you put your hand into this hand here, you are giving up the fight. And there comes a point where you have to just give up the fight and just say, God, I surrender. I surrender to you. You might not be a Christian at all today. If you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you are coming home. You find out who God designed you to be. He cleans you from all your guilt. He takes your shame. People who know me, they know me, that I have to deal with shame. I fight shame regularly. Every time the devil puts shame on me because of my past, I have to come back to God and say, Jesus bore the shame on the cross. I don't have to live like that anymore. Yeah? It's wonderful when you come into God's presence. And when you yield to God, he won't misuse you. He will protect you and he'll guide you. If you're a Christian, you believe that, but how much of the flesh do we still have working in us? I believe all this, and yet I can go home and be a sharp word to Guy. I can hurt people in my own family when I'm walking in myself. But when I'm walking with God, I can be kind and patient, joyful. So whether you're a Christian yet or whether you're not a Christian, you still need to keep on putting your hand into the hand of God. It's a daily thing. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. Matthew 1:20. We've just read all this at Christmas. How many Christmas cards have this in? But just think about it from this angle again. This is the angel, or God speaking to Joseph, the carpenter, in a dream. But after he'd considered this, he was considering divorcing Mary because she was pregnant. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. When you put your hand into God's hand, you are asking him to forgive you your sins. Jesus died to save us and to set us free. When he touched the sick with his hands, he healed them. He took children into his arms and laid his hands on them to bless them. When you come to the hand of God, you will be blessed and God will heal you. Because all of us are broken, aren't we? We're all broken. You might not look broken on the outside, but we're all broken on the inside. And God will heal you. He will forgive you if you ask him. He will give you the courage. When you put your hand in his hand, he will give you the courage and the strength to forgive those who have injured you. And the ultimate moment to hold God's hand, I think, is when we die. What a moment. It will come to all of us. And to put your hand into God's hand and die in peace. I want to go in peace when my day comes. I don't want to be afraid. I want to put my hand into God's hand when I die, as well as when I live. And Jesus did it. Look at this. Luke 23. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. We can follow Jesus' example when we face death as well. If you can trust God, if I can trust God to the degree where my very spirit I can give to him, the very essence of me, I can say, I trust you with that, God. If we do that, people, our lives are going to change, aren't they? We're going to be changed people because we will be fearless. We'll walk with confidence while we're alive on the earth. Make the most of every opportunity, for the days are evil. Get up every morning and put your hand into the hand of God. So let's have a little think as we approach the turning of the year. And my appeal to you, to me, to all of us is, don't waste your life's energy on New Year's resolutions, which will be broken with just like that. Look to the eternal God for the year ahead, for every day. Sometimes when we go through very troubled times, we have to keep looking for God every hour, don't we? Every few minutes if we're in big trouble. We feel we can't manage. Keep holding on to God. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, "Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown." And he replied, "Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way." I really believe that was a prophetic word spoken to our nation that day through the king, King George VI. Would you like to pray with me? Okay. I'm going to use the words of an old song as the first two verses of this old song, as a prayer. And I'm just going to say them slowly. And if you'd like to just close your eyes, just make yourself comfortable with God. And you might want to just think in your own mind some things you might want to put in God's hands. Father, I place into your hands the things I cannot do. Father, I place into your hands the times that I've been through. Father, I place into your hands the way that I should go. For I know I always can trust you. Father, I place into your hands my friends and family. Father, I place into your hands the things that trouble me. Father, I place into your hands the person I would be. For I know I always can trust you. Lord, I just pray your hand upon all of us. I pray that you open the eyes of our hearts. I pray that you would keep us sharp each day to remember you, to remember your goodness, to sing to you, sing a new song of rejoicing in our hearts to you, for you have done marvelous things. Your right hand and holy arm have saved us, and you have made your salvation known and remembered all your love to Israel. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done quite marvelous things. Amen.